Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to get all the info you need on the Vanderbilt Commodores. This is the Anchor Down Podcast with Vanderbilt reporter Max Hurd.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, Max.
On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And the Game Nashville app.
It's time to anchor down and listen up to the Anchor Down Podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name's Max Herz. Vanderbilt, by all national, local, and everywhere in between reports, does have their football coach. It's Clark Lee, Vanderbilt alum, Nashville native, defensive coordinator at Notre Dame currently. It has not been officially announced by the school, but we expect it to be in the coming days. It was reported widely on this morning here on Monday, December the 14th, and Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports came on the podcast last week and told you all why he expected it to be Clark Lee, and here we are a week later. It will be Clark Lee, so Robbie is back on the show to talk about what transpired since then and why the favorite won out. You can subscribe to the Anchor Down Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Second straight Monday that Robbie's on the show. Last week, he said he expected Clark Lee to become Vanderbilt's head coach. On this Monday, we found out for multiple reports across the country, and Robbie has confirmed that Clark Lee will be named Vanderbilt's head coach in the coming days. Robbie, what led you initially to think it would be Clark Lee, and what's it been like since then as that's become all but a true reality here?
Yeah, a little over a week ago, I had a conversation with somebody who told me that, or kind of gave me a list of stuff that Vanderbilt was looking for in a head coach. And of course, Candace Lee had talked about a number of factors publicly, you know, at her press conference the day after Mason was fired, now like 2 weeks ago or whenever that was. But these were some extra sort of factors that I picked up. And the one that stuck out to me was that Vanderbilt wanted their own version of Pat Fitzgerald. If you listen to, for instance, like Bruce Feldman, I think was on 102.5 earlier, and I can't remember if Pete Thamel said something about this on Feinbaum, but if you listen to the national guys, they'll say, they'll kind of throw in the Fitzgerald reference and or comparison for Lee. And I just felt like from the very beginning, as soon as I heard that, that clearly pointed to Clark Lee. On top of that, they definitely wanted somebody who had a background of working at like a really competitive academic school. I don't think that was like something that disqualified candidates necessarily, but it was definitely important. And they wanted somebody who was going to be a really good representative and ambassador, not only of the football program, but of the university. And I think Clark Lee is all those things. And really, I mean, I think I said it last time, if you could just pick out of all of college football, pick who would be the closest thing to Vanderbilt's version of Pat Fitzgerald, you would come up with Clark Lee. And so that's why I felt like the whole time it was pointing toward him, and nothing really changed my opinion on that, even when these other reports about Jamie Chadwell and Will Healy and Jeff Monken all came out.
Why is Lee getting so many of those Pat Fitzgerald-type comparisons, and do you buy it?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if I buy it or not. He's never been a head coach, so Pat Fitzgerald is one of the elite head coaches in all of college football, in my opinion. And we have no idea if Clark Lee is going to be that. It is risky when you hire a coordinator. Now, everybody who I've talked to about Clark Lee speaks really highly of him. It sounds like he's really sharp. He's really organized. He's really good at building relationships with his players and with recruits. So I think he has a good chance to succeed for sure. But I'm not going to pretend like I know how somebody who has never been a head coach before is going to do as a head coach. I don't know. In terms of the comparison to Fitzgerald, I mean, Fitz is a little like more fiery from what I can tell. I know that Fitzgerald, maybe the people on the outside, like sort of has this reputation of being like super professional. You know, he works at Northwestern, which is a high level academic school, and he's about graduating the players and all that. That's true, but he's also like hilarious. You know, he had this whole, he really leaned into the whole fighting Reese Davis's thing a couple weeks ago or whenever that was after they beat Wisconsin. So I don't think the personalities are like actually that similar, because Lee is a little more understated. But, Pat Fitzgerald played for Northwestern, Clark Lee played for Vanderbilt. That doesn't really mean anything in terms of whether these guys are you know, going to be comparable head coaches. But I do think at least, like, Pat Fitzgerald really understands Northwestern as a university and as a football program since he played there. And I definitely think Clark Lee has, you know, a similar understanding of Vanderbilt. I think Joe Rexroad wrote a really good piece, like, months ago where he talked to John Ingram on the record about Candace Lee. And Ingram made some comment about how people at Vanderbilt, you know, you can't be a salmon swimming upstream. Clark Lee is not going to do that, I don't think. He kind of knows the deal, and at the same time, they've said that they are trying to increase investment in the program, renovate these facilities. So I'm sure he realizes that they need to do that, but at the same time, he is going to uphold the academic standards and all that.
Robbie Weinstein from Vandy 24/7 is our guest, talking about the not official but imminent hiring of Notre Dame defensive coordinator Clark Lee as Vanderbilt's new head football coach, and we're expecting for that to become official here in the next couple of days. There have been reports that Lee will be formally introduced, presumably in a virtual manner, after Notre Dame plays in the ACC championship game this weekend against Clemson. Robbie, as of now, what do you kind of expect that introduction or that press conference to be like in terms of what emphasized and what type of angles both Candace Lee and Clark Lee take when talking about his vision, why they chose him, in the interview process?
I suspect they'll talk a lot about, like, trying to reset the program and the culture. And, you know, if you want to, you can take that as sort of a backhanded shot at Derek Mason. I don't think that's really what it will be intended as. I think it's just when the program has been, like, what are they, 3-19 in their last 22 games or whatever, when you lose that much and there's so much negativity surrounding the program, both on the field and then, you know, they got to get these facilities going. I definitely think there's going to be an emphasis on, like, changing the culture and, you know, changing the vibe and all that. So that is something that I think that Clark Lee will probably emphasize. It's going to be interesting because what I'm going to be most interested to hear is what kind of offense is he going to bring. Candace Lee, at the press conference after they fired Mason, she talked about how they were ideally looking for somebody who had an offensive background and also somebody who had head coaching experience. Clark Lee doesn't have either of those, although he did play offense at Vanderbilt. He was a fullback. And so she said, Candace Lee said that if they hired a defensive coach, that coach would need to have a really good plan coming in, both in terms of scheme and probably specific maybe names that they could be looking at for an offensive coordinator. So we don't really know what kind of system or scheme or philosophy Lee will want to go with on offense. So that's going to be kind of the number one thing that I'm looking at. Then the number two thing would be, how is he approaching this next month or so? Because it sounds like he is going to continue to coach Notre Dame through the college football playoff.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And good job clarifying, by the way. We got two C. Lees here. We got Clark Lee and Candace Lee. Clark Lee, L-E-A, Candace Lee, L-E-E. So we'll make sure to keep using first names through this whole introductory process. And you mentioned that Clark Lee has some coaching ahead of him. We talked about last week, that's over 40 days potentially, if Notre Dame goes all the way in the CFP between when Derek Mason is fired and when Notre Dame would get eliminated. What do you think that straddle could look like? And is Clark Lee potentially on the phone with Vanderbilt commits between now and signing day, 2 days from now?
Yeah, I definitely think he will be. He's going to have to be, because you know better than me, or as well as me, about John House, who's a local guy who you have also covered. He is committed right now, and out of all the commits, there's 20 of them right now in the class of 2021, also one transfer. Out of all the current commits, House, I think, is pretty easily the iffiest on signing. I have not been able to reach him since Mason was fired, and previously he was pretty easy to reach. Cal has been, you notice that multiple staffers from Cal Berkeley have followed him on Twitter, and supposedly other schools had reached out to him after Mason was fired. And so I was told by somebody who's pretty close to him that he's going to need or want a, like, pretty specific plan tailored to him, presented by the Vanderbilt head coach, which will turn out to be Clark Lee. I know that he is interested in playing for Clark Lee, but they're going to have a plan for him. So that's one guy who they're going to have to reach out to for sure. But in general, the recruiting class is like just this fascinating storyline right now. They've added, I think, two commits after Mason was fired. And so one of them had committed privately, you know, like 2 days before the Mizzou game, so before Mason was fired, but he stuck with the commitment. And there are others. I can tell you right now, there are other guys committed who have not announced yet. And I think one of them, at least one, and, you know, they could potentially get more guys. Like, they're going to get multiple guys with no head coach. And the class ranks number 49 right now in the 24/7 sports team rankings. I think last year they were 53. And 49 would be among the better. I think it would be the second-best class under Mason. So somehow, like, kind of against all odds, they have a decent class. It's a big class. And they're going to keep adding to it. And they've done it with no head coach. And they only lost one commit in A.J. Campbell, who's a three-star outside linebacker and just announced his commitment to UCLA a few minutes ago. So I don't know how they've been able to do this. South Carolina lost six commits, I believe, like in the first week or two after Will Muschamp was fired, and Vanderbilt is going to retain the vast, vast majority of its class.
Is that a good sign for the Vandy program? I mean, obviously it is, but is there something just about the program itself that's pulling all these guys and keeping them in?
I think it's a combination of things. One would be playing time. I mean, these recruits know how many players have transferred out of Vanderbilt, and that number is going to continue to go up. Grant Miller just announced that he's transferring. And so there's just a lot of opportunity for playing time. I think also a lot of recruits choose Vanderbilt for factors that don't have as much to do with football, specifically academics is a big one usually. And also Nashville is a really good place to live. So that, you know, those factors don't change regardless of who the head coach is. Vanderbilt has told all the commits, I think Candace Story Lee got on the phone with them and told them that Vanderbilt will honor their commitment and they'll let them sign if they want to. So those are like kind of the two biggest factors, I think. I do think the class is highly rated because of the volume of recruits. There's only one four-star recruit, that's Marcus Bradley. There are a fair amount of guys in the class who are solid players for sure, but some of them like came on late in their senior year and maybe were lower rated before. So not everybody in this class has a lot of other Power 5 offers that are committable. And a lot of other Power 5 schools have basically filled up spots. Schools fill up a lot earlier now that most players sign in December as opposed to February, like how it used to be. So I think a lot of these players, even if they really, really wanted to flip, they wouldn't have a lot of options. But I also don't think a lot of them really are seriously considering that anyway.
Talking about the Vanderbilt coaching change here with Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports here on the Anchor Down podcast on 102.5 The Game. In terms of Vanderbilt getting their first choice, presumably announcing it before signing day, did this process kind of play out best case scenario from Vanderbilt's point of view?
I think so, yeah. On top of all that, this was a really quiet coaching search. You know, we have to be consistent, I think, when we talk about both professional and college organizations, like in sports. In the pro ranks, it's considered a positive trait when teams are leak-proof, right? Like, I think the San Antonio Spurs are known for not a lot getting out. I think OKC Thunder, I think they're another team, you know, in the NBA. Supposedly the best programs in college and teams in you know, the professional level, they don't leak as much. Whereas, for instance, with Tennessee, you remember that coaching search for Pruitt, you know, where they were going to hire Greg Schiano first and then they ended up with Pruitt. It was a complete circus. There were, like, no leaks in this process. The information that I got was from it wasn't from, like, boosters or anything like that. I was able to dig up a fair amount, but the fact that there hadn't been very many credible reports about this leading up to, you know, all of a sudden this morning when Adam Rittenberg and then Pete Thamel basically tweet out that this is done, I think that speaks pretty highly to how the search was run by Candace Lee and Daniel Dearmeyer and I assume John Ingram was also in there as well. And then they did get, I imagine, probably Clark Lee was the top candidate from the beginning. I think Jamie Chadwell would have been a really fascinating football fit, but it just doesn't really seem like he was ever that much in the mix. And so who knows if Clark Lee is going to be a great coach or not, and that's ultimately what the coaching search is going to be judged on, right? But I think in terms of the process, it went pretty smoothly from what I can tell.
Do we know anybody else who got deep in interviewing or who else could have been close or considered?
Sounds like Jeff Monken from Army and Lance Leipold from Buffalo.
And how far do you think they got?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that was the final three. But I don't how far they got, you know, who knows? I think Candace Lee and Daniel Giermeier and maybe John Ingram are probably the only people who know that. I would have been – so reports came out about, like, Monken gaining steam supposedly yesterday, which I wasn't really too sure about because – for me, I just would have always been surprised if they hired him for two reasons. So for fans listening, for context, he runs a triple option offense up at Army. He also ran that at Georgia Southern in his previous stop. So number one, if you hire a coach to run the triple option, you're kind of, I think, acknowledging that there's a ceiling on Vanderbilt football. And I don't know that the people who are going to make a hire and who run Vanderbilt athletics would want to acknowledge that. I think on top of that, there was some suggestion that Monken would be willing to tweak his scheme and not run a triple option, but then you're hiring him to do something to run an offense that isn't what got him success and multiple 10-win seasons at Army and Georgia Southern, you know? Then on top of that, I mean, your big gem going forward is Ken Seals, and he's not a triple option quarterback. So for all those reasons, I thought that was not super likely, but I do think he was a strong candidate.
Do you think Healy was strongly considered, and either way, do you think he got a fair shake?
So I don't know about Healy personally. I know that he interviewed on last Wednesday. I don't know exactly how much consideration that he got, but my colleague Barton Simmons, who's our director of scouting at 24/7, he reported, I think, late last week that Healy really wasn't going to be a finalist and wasn't ultimately going to come close to getting the job. I do think he got a fair shake. Charlotte's not having a good season.
Interesting. One more thing I want to ask you about. Robbie Weinstein from 24/7 Sports is our guest. Talking about the coaching change, you mentioned that we just found out here on Monday the 14th that Grant Miller, Vanderbilt's starting center, who we knew is graduating, is going to grad transfer and leave the program. Do you expect a lot of the remaining players to leave? And if they do, is that an indictment of the hire or just kind of the reality of the college football system at the moment?
Reality of the college football system at the moment, for sure. I mean, I think I got a message in Slack today from 24/7, or it went to like a group thing. It wasn't sent directly to me. And it was one of our editors saying like, hey, if you have any guys who you think could transfer, he was sending this message out to all the people who cover teams and individual programs for 24/7. If you guys know anybody who could be transferring, like just pre-write a story now because the transfer portal is absolutely on fire. The one-time transfer exception rule where you can be eligible to play immediately as long as it's your first time transferring, that is expected to be passed either later this month or in January, I believe, by the NCAA. So, yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, this hire, from what I have seen, has been widely praised. For the most part, some people say that it's a little bit of a safe hire, but I don't know. You know, I sort of don't know what that means. Like, it's just so difficult to project what Clark Lee is going to be when I have not met him. I can only go off of what other people are saying, and he's never been a head coach before. It's clear that he is, like, kind of a blue-chip head coaching prospect, but I don't think players are going to leave because of him. I think that if guys leave, it would likely be the case kind of no matter who they hire, as long as they're, you know, firing Mason. I would also add to that, I can tell you Ken Seals' family was very happy that Clark Lee was hired. All you have to do to see that is just go on Twitter. And, if they had hired Jeff Monken and he's running the triple option offense, does Ken Seals stay at Vanderbilt? I would guess not. He's not a triple option quarterback. So they were very happy that Clark Lee was hired, and I think that's one player you definitely don't have to worry about transferring.
I'd call it a safe hire in a positive way. I think that would be a fair way to word it. So I don't know if even people saying that is a knock. I'd say that could be framed positively.
Yeah, I just think, you know, they got a really strong candidate for sure. Derek Mason was considered a very strong candidate when he was hired in 2014, and that didn't work out. So I would be silly to come on here and rave about how Clark Lee is going to be this great head coach when I really, you know, I don't know. I can't predict the future. But I think they did the best they could in this situation, and I think it turned out that it was a smart move to fire Mason 2 weeks ago, because now some other jobs have opened up, and Vanderbilt would have had more competition right now if they were just now opening up.
And they made the hire before signing day, so I think that's
yep,
big,
that's
too.
True.
If you subscribe to Vandy 24/7, you would have known that Clark Lee was the heavy favorite on Sunday, December 6th. Is that right, Robbie?
Well, that was my prediction. I didn't really report that he was the favorite. I didn't know that, but I did. Yeah, I had heard a lot of rumblings starting on either Thursday or Friday that the search was coming to an end, and that it was going to probably happen before signing day, which was not my previous expectation. And I continued to hear last night that it could happen today. So, yeah, definitely subscribers got a little bit of a heads up there.
All right, so you should do that, and we will be looking forward to talking again in the next week or so as Clark Lee is introduced, and we, like you said, will have a little bit more to go off in terms of specifics of why this is the hire and what the seasons ahead look like for Vandy football. So, Robbie, thanks so much for doing this, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep, thanks for having me.
We will have plenty more over the next week plus whenever Clark Lee is announced, introduced. You know how we do it with press conferences here for those of you who listen all the time. You'll hear everything that mattered from that press conference right here on the show, and I'll tell you what we think, tell you what it means. And as I said towards the end there, I think Vanderbilt made the safe hire, they made the smart hire, they made the obvious hire, and I think they made the correct choice. They made the position open in the correct year. They had some strong candidates, even though the final three probably weren't who we thought they were. We heard Robbie say at the end there, Munkin and Leopold were maybe the other two finalists. It wasn't Will Healy. It wasn't Jamie Chadwell. But I think Vanderbilt had a pretty obvious choice to make. Everything pointed it to Clark Lee. And Clark Lee it is. We'll know that for sure in the next couple of days. We thought there was even a chance it may have been announced by the time this podcast comes out here on the evening of December the 14th. And many of you hear it here on 102.5 The Game. But it'll be officially announced soon in the coming days, barring a massive change. So stay tuned. Subscribe to the Anchor Down podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We will be taking you through that press conference, and we'll start talking some Vandy basketball soon. Big game for the Vandy men's team Wednesday at noon on the SEC Network against Richmond, who is a top 25 team, beat Kentucky earlier this year. So that will be the first big test after a close win over Valpo in the first game and then a blowout win over Mississippi Valley on Sunday for Jerry Stackhouse's team this season. The women's team is 2-1 after a road win over UT Chattanooga. They've won back-to-back games after losing their opener to Little Rock. So we will be talking about Vandy hoops as the seasons progress, hopefully toward conference play starting right before the end of the year. That's all for today. You've been anchoring down and listening up with me, Max Herz. It's the Anchor Down podcast here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.